Commission, you did here, and got a wonderful service man tonight. I just thank God for his kindness. And Brother Taylor, he's always saying good things about me, and there's nothing good about me. I don't know. Well, the only place he gets it, once in a while, the Lord, he'll see fit to show himself through it. And that's the only good thing that ever has been or will be about me. But I appreciate Brother Taylor's kindness. The Bible says, let another's lips praise you. Paul says, a good thing, I praise you. And I think maybe if we praise each other more, then some good things will be get along. But I think we were too, you know, hasty to want to find fault with brethren instead of lifting them up. And as our Brother Taylor said, there's nothing greater than the Son of God. And we ought to be ready to lift one another up, esteeming very highly, the Bible says, for their work's sake, that the world might want to follow them rather than the things out there, the people of the world. Amen. I thank the Lord for every one of our people that's come out to be with us tonight. And I thank God for the opportunity to be in Humboldt, because I've never been here before. And that is a great revelation that's taking place. A great revelation is taking place. Now, you people that don't know what revelation is, or maybe you don't understand revelation, you probably wouldn't understand what I'm saying tonight. And even in this little church, being here in Humboldt, Tennessee, there's a great revelation that's taking place. Mm-hmm. Could you believe it?
Amen.
Years ago, I just went by faith because that's all I knew. And one day, I really got acquainted with God and learned about spiritual revelation. And from that time, I did like Paul, and Paul said he went to me with Peter by revelation. I began to move by revelation, and God has been real good to me. He's been real kind to me. Paul said, if I come to you and I speak to you, I've got to either speak to you by doctrine or by revelation, or else I don't profit to you then. And I like to preach doctrine, I like to exhort people, and I like to talk about revelation. Now, you know, last night I talked a little bit, exhorted a little bit last night, dropped in the solitude. And tonight, I thought I might just get into a little revelation. There's nothing I like any better than getting in revelation. And maybe we can. A lot of times you ask people, say, do you know anything about revelation? They'll say, well, sure, I read the book of Revelation. Well, isn't that good? The book of Revelation is exactly the same thing that Paul was talking about when he said the revelation was made known to him. Well, I'm speaking of God revealing to us in this day. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to vision and revelation. So I feel that I doubtless shall come to vision and revelation. I want to say again that it's a real privilege to be kind of get a humble and have a chance to talk with you, have the wonderful folks to come out and be with us. And I hope that during camp meeting over around Monroe, we're going to have camp meeting. I believe it's continuing. You folks just come right on in, we're glad to have you. And I hope you don't forget the camp meeting around here. They'll probably put out a little advertisement on it, and I hope for them to get over and be with us. Probably around here to have our camp meeting. And it'd be a real blessing just for us to get over and be with us in camp meeting. Over in Monroe, Georgia, about 3 miles. Out of Monroe and Highway 7 is going to what happens, going to right. And we'd be glad to have you. Probably what the area is about 30, 40 miles out of Atlanta. About 30, 40 miles out of Atlanta. Now, I'll read just a little bit over in the book of Revelation in the 3rd chapter. I don't know just where I'll go from here. But I don't believe it was at the Bible. The book of Revelation, you got your Bible. Well, we appreciate the people coming in and coming in, just keep your mind right on the Lord. Let them come right on in. We're welcome. And last night we had this little problem there. About time we was getting into the message. Had some newcomers, and about time we getting into it again, we had some, well, we lost some comers. got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. And if God will give us something, well, we'd like to share it with you. The third chapter of the book of Revelation. I think I'll begin at the 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them to dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that flag which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and faithful. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right. If I had anything to say,
that would be it.
And that is, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Mm-hmm. Or truthfully, if there's anything that we need to do, it's to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we hear the preacher. We hear what he has to say. But as far as being able to get a hold of the Spirit, Brother Carlos, and hear what the Spirit is saying, we don't do that. Now I can speak to you tonight, and I will speak to you. I'll speak to you from here to here. And you'll hear it to here, and you'll catalog it here. But now, at the same time I'm talking, there's going to be something that'll be speaking from here to you down here. And that will be the Spirit. And he'll be talking in a spiritual ear. You know, Jesus said, having ears to hear, you hear not. Got natural ears, but no spiritual ears. Mm-hmm. Having natural eyes, he said, you still don't see because you don't have eyes of understanding. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual eyes. You know, you can't see God. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit. And yet, if two or three of us come together, he's in the midst. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit. I believe that as much as two or three of us came here tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe that we're here tonight.
Amen.
Now, if we are here tonight in the name of Jesus, then that means that the eternal God is here.
Amen.
And you know, that makes me glad I come to church.
I'm
come to church for it. I'm glad if the preacher don't say anything tonight, I'm glad that I'm in church.
Hallelujah.
If he's here tonight, I'm glad I'm here.
Amen.
Now, if we wasn't excited over nothing else, we got a young doctor here from out of Miami, Florida.
Right?
A great outstanding boxer down there. A young fellow was really getting on his way. God converted him, brought him over. And he's something godly. And he's hung up his club to be here with us. That's one thing to be here for. That fellow come all the way out of Florida. But just to think that God's here tonight. God is here tonight. That makes me glad I'm here. Not only is God here, but we got a number of sons of God here. Now, did you know the Bible teaches that if one son of God was unveiled,
come on.
That the sun would quit shining? If one son of God pulled off the veil, the Bible teaches that the sun would never shine again. It would hang its head and never
ever shy and get a bit ashamed, it'll come out more.
That's
right. The Bible says that one Son of God will outshine the noonday sun. He'll be so bright and so brilliant that the great sun will look like somebody struck a match in the dark. So then, we've got sons of God here, dignitaries of heaven. That's another reason to be here tonight. I'm glad to be here. I have been in time for the mayor would come out. Now, if the mayor of Humboldt tonight knew that sons of God was here under the church, he'd be out tonight with you. He'd be here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm here at Humboldt tonight. Right in here in this little building that's called New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem's a good place to be.
Yeah. Right.
I'm glad that I'm here tonight in this building called New Jerusalem. I'm glad that I've got the Word of God and able to exalt you a little bit and somebody to listen at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to talk with you tonight, and if the mind of God will come down, well, we'll share something with you.
Right.
Now, you know, the Bible teaches that we've got what we call the pure mind. Tell me what a pure mind is. The Bible teaches not to be carnally minded, for to be carnally minded is dead. Is that right?
Amen.
That's the old beast mind. That's your mind.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I might explain something here just a little bit to try to get us off on the right track. Mm-hmm. There's three minds that is in you. There's three minds that God has in you. One of them is a mind of humanity. One of them is the mind of Satan. And one of them is the mind of God. Now, if you ever try to differentiate between the three, let's just try differentiating just a little bit here and see if we can give a description of the different ones. First of all, man's mind is what I refer to as the mind of necessity. In other words, all of man's mind together and alike, all they ever think about is eating, sleeping, drinking, working, making a living, being honest, paying their bills, combing their hair, washing their feet, driving their car, plowing the field. Is that right? That's man's mind. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it? Not a thing wrong with it. God made it. He made Adam so that Adam could name the trees, name all the animals, made Adam so that he could work the ground. Is that right?
Right.
Made Adam so that he could till the ground. All those things he made Adam for. What do you think wrong with it? He could dress the trees of the garden. That was all right. What's nothing wrong with it? Now, but there is another mind.
Uh-huh.
And that mind is the mind of Satan.
Uh-huh.
It's the mind of debauchery, murder, hate, lust, theft. Is that right?
Right.
Wants to kill, steal, destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wants to take the preeminence, rule, rob people of their substance, put them under, you know, some kind of lordship. Wants to make service out of them. Is that right?
Yeah.
A corruptible mind that in the abased things of the world, going down in the acts of sodomy, all the evils of the world. Is that right?
Yeah.
But then there's another mind. That's the mind of God. Love, peace, joy, wrong stuff, sinners, faith. Is that right? Faith, life, holy. Is that right? Power, strength, health, happiness. Is that right? That's God's mind. Now then, God's mind created man's mind so that the God's mind could interweave itself with it. Just like you put Kool-Aid in a glass of water. Stir it up. Is that right? All becomes one. God created man's mind so that God's mind could get in man's mind, intermingle itself with it, and God and man would be one. Because God doesn't have a body, and man does have a body. Is that right?
Amen.
Our God is eternal spirit. What is a mind? It's a spirit.
Amen.
In the beginning was the word mind, God the eternal spirit. You agree with that?
Amen.
Alright, so then, God's spirit wants to get in man's spirit and interweave itself with man's spirit. But before God could get in man's spirit when he created in the garden, Satan got in man's spirit. Now, what was the plan of Satan to begin with? Ever stop to think about it? What was the plan of Satan when he got in man's spirit? The mind of Satan interweaves itself with the mind of man. What was his plan? What he showed us. Satan, before God could get into the masterpiece, had control of it and make humanity the body of the eternal spirit. Satan got into the spirit of man. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And when Satan got into it, what did he do? The first thing he did, he wanted to head for the tree of life. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, now man has become this one of us, to know good and evil. Man didn't know good and evil to start with. If he had it, he would never eat of that tree. But he said, now man has become as one of us. Is that right? Said, now, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. The scripture stops right there. You want me to finish it for me?
Yeah.
He was saying, now, lest he put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. We better get him out of God. In other words, God was saying, Satan has captured the admiration of man, and he's got him to man. And if he ever gets man over to the tree of life, I can't do anything with him. Man will live forever, and the devil will be in him from now on. God says, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Don't let him get to the tree of life. God's too smart for Satan. Just get him out of here. See, God wanted to get inside of man and let man get to the tree of life, and then man could live forever with God in. But Satan found out what God was doing. And he got a hold of God's masterpiece, and he was going to get inside of man and then get man over to the tree of life. First, he had to get him over to the tree of knowledge. Once he got him to the tree of knowledge, then get him to the tree of life, he'd live forever. Is that right? But God was on guard. God was watching. Let me show you something here. You may already know, but Peter says, though you know this, we're stepping back a little bit. We'll get the right place here. Did you know that God, when he created humanity, had a great plan for it? Come to know that. And when man fell from the garden, it wasn't a failure. When man partook of the tree of knowledge, it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a slip on God's part. It wasn't something that happened that God didn't know about. It was all in the plan of God. Everything. It went just exactly the way that God intended for it to go.
Amen.
Somebody say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. Yes, I do.
Amen.
The Bible says, can evil come to a sin in God? Says, can it come and be not be the one that sinned first? The Bible says, God created the good, God created the evil, God has his way in both.
Amen.
The Bible says, God first saw things as we count and go with.
Amen.
When man fell, it was the perfect plans of God. But why did God let man fall from the garden? Because there was no other way, really, to take a human being and make him into a god without exposing to the tree of knowledge. You say, what can you prove that? There is no place in the scriptures where the Bible says at any time that man has become his god until he partook of the tree of knowledge. What did Satan tell him? Satan said, thou shalt not surely die, but God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall become as gods. Is that what it said? Somebody said, now, Brother Park, that ain't right. If it's not right, why did Jesus later on look at him and say, you're gods, but you shall die of sin? He said, you know, you shall become as gods. God knows that. Sure, God knew that.
Amen.
Satan knew it too. But God, Satan was trying to work a little deal on the side. He knew that too. the woman with 18. Is that right? What is that? 3 times 6. 6, 6, 6. But look at a man. When a man becomes a man because of the law, what is it?
1 times 6.
Is that right? Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. You ever notice when a man child is born in the Bible? When a woman child is born, what is it? She's unclean for 7 days. What that for? It takes us all the way back to Calvary, where the man child is born, come up to the throne, and 7 church ages is to purify us, before she can come back to us.
Hallelujah.
It takes 66 days for a purification. Is that right? But look at the man child. How long does it take for him? 33 days. Is that right? It takes exactly twice. What could be said about that? You understand what I'm saying? That woman can't get away from that number 6, can't she? You know why? She's the one that caused the fall. She's the one that caused the trouble. It was the woman that did it. Now I said, "Oh, Brother Fox, you done lost that because you got the women on the wrong side. Always done got them on the wrong side. See, it's the woman that did it. She's the blame for it." A lot of people say, "Brother Pike, the man is just as much to blame as the woman." It's not true. The Bible says that the man was not found in the transgression, but the woman did in the transgression.
That's
right. Is that right? Someone said, "Let's just feel good." You know, the demon, they like to feel good over there. Who is that hurtish woman? It's you men, folks. Check it out. The Bible said, "Come out from among them, be a separate people." Is that right?
Amen.
Who is the whore? It's the flesh.
Amen.
That's who it is. The woman's only typical of it. God just used the woman of the earth to show a typical thing. The man typifies Christ. The man couldn't be in the transgression. Because the type of Jesus. Jesus wasn't to blame. The church was to blame. Because the flesh is to blame. Not the spirit.
That's right. Go ahead.
That's all right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Satan was going to work him again. He had some real plans there. He thought if he could ever get man to do that, he really had him. I was over in Indiana preaching one time. I made a mistake when a fella jumped up out of the audience. Oh, nobody would jump up now. Hallelujah. I made a statement like this. That the law that came from Moses was typical of the tree of knowledge. Why? Because the tree of knowledge is the thing that caused the fall. It was the tree of knowledge that caused death. Is that right? Paul said without the law was alive, until the law came, sin revived, when it came and I died. And that which I thought was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Is that right? The worst thing that ever happened to Israel was when they got out of the law. Is that right? So then, the law was the thing that represented the tree of knowledge. It was the thing that brought man under constraint and killed it in the sight of God. Now the law is just holy. But we've been weak to it. We've been weak to it. The flesh. Not being able to perform in the eyes of God. Therefore, that which should have been life to us came to be dead. Is that right? But then look. After the tree of knowledge came, then here comes Jesus down to Calvary. And that is the tree of life. You agree?
Amen.
You say, where did you get it that he was a tree? They started weeping. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, I'm a green tree. He said, if they'll do this to a green tree, so what about you dead folks?
Right.
But how about you dry tree? The Bible said God's trees are full of sap, full of rot. Is that right? So then there was the tree of life, right here in the garden of this world. Both of them here. That old tree of knowledge, that old do's and don'ts, that old You follow me?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is counting beans, praying the mail, all the Protestant doors, all of them, instead of trusting in Jesus? Paul said the Jews, they had the law, they had the word, but it didn't profit them because the land's supposed to be an act of faith. I made the statement last night that God translated Egypt into the kingdom by faith. That fellow that said Enoch had to come back here and die, he's mistaken. The Bible said that Enoch was translated and should not see death.
Amen.
And if he comes back and dies, it breaks the scripture.
Amen.
God doesn't want him to come back. The seven commandments are tied to the rapture. A type of this revelation is coming out now.
Amen.
It's going to translate the church.
Amen.
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 How could Enoch be translated by faith? How could he do that? Because in the days of Enoch, there was no law.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing against him. He had no marks against him. He was pure in the sight of God. There was no charge against him. 430 years before the Lord ever came, Abraham stood up and God testified in my faith.
Uh-huh.
Called him the friend of God. Is that right?
Amen.
So then what was God working for? To take the Lord and nail it to Calvary. Is that right? Why? So we come back to the days of Enoch. The world wouldn't have any law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's faith in God. Where there's faith in God, there's transgression. Hallelujah! To mail it to town and to take it out of the way. Deliver thy offenses, thy sins, thy wrongs. And then raised out of the ground, Paul said, to prove that justification had come in the sight of God for man. His resurrection was a proof that man was no longer charged with sin, that man had overcome death. What was it? A beautiful plan of God. Didn't that just slip? Why did God let the law come to start with?
Mm-hmm.
So that Adam could understand there was something good somewhere. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, didn't Adam know that God was his God? Well, Adam didn't know what he was God's God. You say, where do you get that? Well, how did Adam know that God created? He only had God's word for it. And that right, like a fellow I told one time, I said, God sent me to you. He said, how do you know God didn't send me to you? God put me on the spot for a few minutes. I didn't expect to say that. I said, well, you know when what I tell you about the past. I sure haven't let it come to pass. I've been in the thick. But anyway, the people in the world are pretty smart.
Amen.
So then, God could have said, Adam, I created you. He could have said, what makes you think that? How do you know I didn't create you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No doubt Adam said, now look, Eve, you obey me. I'm your boss. She might have said, how do you know I'm your boss?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't convince a woman to say that a man's flowing over her.
That's right.
That's right. You go out there and tell her that you're Lord over her. She'll say, ain't nobody Lord over me. But the Bible today, if they were called Abraham Lord, you're her daughter if you didn't say that. Is that right?
That's right.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
Somebody said, I ain't got but one Lord. I know that, and I'm born with bone, flesh, and flesh. Where does that put you? Amen. Where's that put my wife? You love the Lord?
Amen.
Now we try to get around God, don't we? Every way we try to find an outlet. Try to escape, get around God. Don't want to come in by the door. But God doesn't win like that, does he?
No.
All right, now what is it? All right, let's look at it a little bit farther. Now what is it? God wanted Adam to be only outside of the category of God for the purpose of letting Adam know that he needed faith in a supreme being. That he needed to develop faith. Eve didn't have any faith in God. If she had faith in the Word, she never went to the tree of knowledge. Is that right?
Amen.
But she didn't have any faith in it. And because of unbelief, man's in sin today. What was it? I made this statement a lot of times. People say, well, Adam had eternal life, and if he'd done because they died prison, they didn't have eternal life. But they were in the presence of eternal life. They were in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. They were in the presence of the Spirit. And they couldn't live forever as long as they stayed in the presence of Him. As long as you stay in the presence of the sunshine, you got life. But as you get out of the presence of the sunshine, it's no life. Adam was in the presence of eternal life. Presence of the Shekinah glory of God. He could have lived eternally as long as he stayed in the presence of it. Is that right?
That's right.
But when he listened to the wrong voice, it led him astray. Adam never had eternal life. Why? He was the first man, Adam. He was created with a soul that had to die, that had to go back to the dust. He was made for that purpose. God made him out of the dust. No, he could go spinning back to the dust. Said, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return.
Amen.
Amen.
Why is that? Because that that is earthy must go back to Mother Earth. That that is made of the earth must return to the earth. That that is taken out of the earth must go back to the earth. But when Jesus came along, he wasn't of the earth. He wasn't made of the earth. Someone said, Brother Pike, he said, all nations are made of one blood. If Jesus came with the blood of Adam, he's of the dust. That's true, but he didn't come to the blood of Adam. See, the sin was in the blood. Satan's got the blood. The spirit of Satan, the mind of Satan, has gotten in the heart of man. Has defiled man's spirit. It took over the body. Is that right? Led it astray. Led it away from the presence of God. God never gave it eternal life. That's why it cut Satan off. That's why he told man to get out of the garden. So if man had ever gone to the tree of life, he wouldn't have the Shekinah glory of God on the inside. He would have been born in the Shekinah. But God got him out of the garden because Adam was made to be perfect. That was life in bondage. That was life inside the veil. And God was processing that life. Peter said, we born the image of the earthy. That's Adam. Is that right? We born the tabernacle of the earthy. I've said this a lot of times. Folks say, well, Brother Parker made the likeness of God. But you don't really believe that. You don't believe that. You couldn't believe that. He said, I made the image of God. I made the statement. You mean to tell me that God's fat, God's skinny, God's bald, God's got a lot of hair. God's old, God's young, God's little, God's big. You're not made in the image of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, the Bible said that I've made the image of God. I never said that. Where can you read that? Somebody said, but I can take you the Bible and show you right in Scripture where the Bible said that I've made the image of God. There's no place where it said anything about it. The Bible said God made Adam in His image. Is that right? Adam was in the image of the God of heaven. Adam was made in the image of God. That was before he fell and took on the image of the beast. You say, where do you stand? As long as he was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, he was made in the image and the likeness of God. You say, where do you get it that he ever took the other? Because Peter said, as we are born the image of the earthy, that's the beast, that's the dust, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. That's the Son of God.
Amen.
Peter said, the tabernacle eternal in the heavens not made with hands. He said, I'm going to put off this tabernacle, this old beast appearance. Is that right?
Amen.
But he said, when I get real man's body, I got a body called the body of Christ. I'm going to be born in his body, flesh in his flesh. I've got another tabernacle, the body of Jesus Christ, eternal spirit. He said, it's a mansion that the Holy Ghost prepared, not man. And when the dead man moved out of this little house of clay, let's get rid of move out of here. I ain't going to leave this house no longer. I leave it. Move out of it, said, I got another mansion in heaven.
Amen.
Is that right? The Bible said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Is that right?
Amen.
How do you know the Father's house is the body of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
How do you know that God personified Himself in Christ? The eternal spirit tabernacle of the body of Jesus. How do you know that? How do you know that was the temple of God? There was a tabernacle of God. There was a house of God.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? And Paul said, we're the house of God.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
I said, in my Father's house, there's many members to that body, he said.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
That's right.
In my Father's house, he said, there's many mansions. What is it? The membership from the body of Jesus Christ. And the inner spiritual man talks to us that there is a conflict between this outer and the inner. And there's a war going on between the inner and the outer.
Amen.
And he said, though this outer tabernacle perish, yet this inner man is getting ready to move out of his tabernacle, Peter said. Gotta move into that mansion.
Hallelujah. One not made by angels. A lot of people say carnal minded. Paul said to speak unto your spirituals. There's the carnal minded. They're looking for some kind of house with a top on it. Why do you want a house with a top on it? It ain't never going to rain up there. I said, they ain't never going to be in the sunshine. It's going to get too hot. The Bible said there'd be no sun up there. Glory to the Lord. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said there'd be no temple up there. Why? Somebody said, wait till I get to the house up there. In my Father's house, there may be mansions. But the Bible says there's no temple there. So if you're looking for a temple, you're going wrong. Said the Lamb's the temple, that's it. Amen. It says the light's radiating from Him. Is that right? But in my Father's house, for we're all baptized into a membership of the church by one baptism, which is the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Paul said, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. It's not you that live, but it's Christ that liveth within you. And the life he said, I live by the Son of God. And he said, the righteousness of the saints is the written garment God will look for. You have made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the written garment God's looking for. And if any man climbeth any other way except going to the door of the Word, he said, that man is a thief and that man is a liar. And he said, that man will come in without the wedding garment. And God would bind him hand and feet and cast him into the hour of darkness. The righteousness of the saints. He that knew no sin was made out of sin. That we might be made the righteousness of Christ or God in Christ. Is that right? Show them the wedding garment tonight. As many has been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, which is the membership of the church. For the church is Christ's body. Amen. Then we put on Christ. We become a member of the body by the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
That's right.
Baptized with the power of the Holy Ghost into the membership of the great eternal body of Jesus.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. Tonight we're one unit. We walk hand in hand. We don't break ranks. We don't pierce each other through. I made a statement. I said, that's where the trouble comes from, is through the bloodline. God's made all nations of one blood. Brother Richard, you got the same blood I got. If you need a blood transfusion, I can give you blood.
Amen. Amen.
If I need a blood transfusion, I'll have to just go to the blood bank for the house and give me blood.
Amen.
All nations is made of one blood. And Satan got in that heart where the blood is. And got in the blood where the life is. Is that right? And every kid that was ever born in this world, every child that ever came in the birth, he came into the degraded side of life. He came into the beastly passions. For David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. I'm shaped in iniquity. Somebody said, I'm made in his image. But the Bible said, your image is iniquity. You're shaped in iniquity.
Amen.
You're made in the image of the beast. Where do you get that? Because the nature causes a conformity. Johnny's children are going to look like Johnny. Richard's children are going to look like Richard. Brother Gonzalez's children are going to look like Brother Gonzalez. Is that right? Why? Because the nature is the determining fact of the image. Whatever the nature is, that's what the image will be. I'm glad I'm born of the nature of Jesus Christ. My presence of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Predestinated to conform to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
But the first nature was the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The first nature was the nature of the fallen man. That's where the fallen sons of God came in. How do you know that Adam was called the Son of God? But how do you know that he fell from the grace of God? Did he fall from the garden? Did he fall from grace? He was a fallen son of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that was the angel that was cast out of heaven. Where'd you ever read where an angel was called the Son of God? You ever read in the Bible where an angel was called the Son of God? God don't make angels sons of God. Angels are not equal to sons of God. Hallelujah. An angel sure would like to be a son of God. I'll tell you, he'd trade places with you in a minute. That's right, he'd be glad for you to have a good time in heaven while he come down here and had your star and be able to get what you're going to get out of it. He'd be glad to change places with you. To be a son of the living God. That makes me feel good, eh? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Sean said, feeling so much better, let's go on talking about this Abel went over and killed a little lamb, took it and offered it up, spilled the blood, because he knew the trouble was in the blood, and he knew the life was in the blood, and he knew he had to kill that outer beast to get the life back that God had gave him. Because the Bible said it's dead, the spirit goes back to God and gave it. And the spirit is the life of the body. If you don't believe that, go down to the undertakers and see where the spirit went to. The body's still there. The life's gone. People who don't live for God, they're like rats. That's right, like parasites, like rascals. You know what a rascal is? A rascal's a little animal. After you bait your trap, catch your prey, he'll rob it. How's it going? That's what a rascal is. Look him up in the dictionary. You ever had anybody to rob your trap? That's right. There's rascals in this world that take your wife. There's rascals in this world that take your church members. There's rascals in this world that take your money. That's why God, people refer to him as sharks. That's why God, this man referred to some of them as sharks. Go out in the ocean, you find a bunch of sharks spinning around. And God refers to people as waters. So that beasts come up out of many waters. In those waters, you find a bunch of many sharks. I'm glad there's a few porpoises out there, too. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Amen. So then the blood was the trouble. Here comes Abel. He offered up a blood sacrifice. Had the mind of God, knew what was wrong, knew that there had been a natural birth, there had to be atonement for it. So then, knowing that that sheep with an iniquity birth had come, that unclean act of man, that an iniquity was conceived, he began to offer up a blood atonement. Why blood atonement? You say, God must be a bloodthirsty God. God isn't bloodthirsty. God doesn't care about having blood offered up. But God knows that life is attempted into the blood.
Amen. That's right.
The only way to turn that life loose is to get it out of a beast's body. Mm.
Hey.
Is that right?
Amen.
Look at a rat. A rat's a pestilence. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
He's got the same kind of life in him that anything else has got in him. Mm-hmm. He's got the same kind of life a bird's got. Is that right?
That's right.
Because there's a difference in the flesh.
Yeah.
Is that right? One kind of beast, one kind of birds. Is that right? There's a celestial and a terrestrial.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have bone of bone, flesh of flesh, and a terrestrial, ain't you?
Uh-huh.
I mean the celestial.
Amen.
So then, the thing to do is kill the rat. Mm-hmm. Because the rat is typical of the people in this world that won't serve God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A rascal is a typical thing of a person who won't serve God. A shark is a typical thing of something that won't serve God. It's got life in bondage. The rat takes the same life, but he puts it in bondage, and he uses that life in perversion to tear down, to destroy, to take away the good of mankind. Millions of dollars worth of damage is done every year because of rats.
Amen.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
There's some physical rats in the world.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
They destroy its life in bondage.
Yes.
God's happy for the day that rat's killed.
Mm-hmm.
I know he only made a natural rat to typify.
Yes.
The little rat can't help it. But I'll tell you, you people that are sovereign, that won't live for God, you're rats that can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're rats that can't help it.
Amen.
That's right. You can go to God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Say, don't you believe in predestination? I do.
Amen.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Amen.
But I say the rat can help what he's doing.
Okay.
Amen. He don't want to. That's why he's predestinated to hell. God made him a sovereignty. I know our name's written down the last book of life for the world ever was. I know that Jesus hadn't lost one of them. I know all of them will come to in the last
Amen.
Day. I know that. I understand that. But the Bible says life, the spirit goes back to God and gave it death. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
What you got to do is kill the rat. One day God's going to kill the rat. The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth.
Amen.
He said, the prayer is an abomination of my sight.
Amen.
He said, the offerings are an abomination of my sight.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Said, the wicked's like the restless waves of the sea, foaming out for shame. Every Washington mile up upon the shore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pursue the wicked till he perishes from over the face of the earth, God said. day. Paralysis, heart trouble, insanity. I'm telling devils and demons with this on. That means you spiritual folks better get your shield up. The Bible said taking the shield of faith, that is believing in the word, the promises of God, and Calvary, in the atonement, you can quench all the fire darts of the evil spirits. You turn away those evil powers. Is that right?
Yeah.
Summon God is trying to get rid of the present, trying to get rid of the rest. He's pursuing. He's got to get that life out of bondage. Life gets inside of a man, what does he do? Erect. He wants to go to a juke joint. He wants to sit and watch some filthy mess on television. He wants to suck on a weed or chew on cud. He wants to take another man's wife or follow another man's daughter. He wants to rob, kill, cheat, steal, destroy. He wants to work some kind of cunning business deal to work and take away what a man's got. I used to wonder what God meant when he said the thief and the robber. He said the thief and the robber, they beat the man up, left him laying in the ditch. Nobody would have nothing to do with him but the good Samaritan. So I got to go to the dentist and the doctors and different ones, and I found out where the thief and the robber was laying. Amen. Go out to some of the grocery stores and find out where the thief and the robber is. I said, they'll take everything you got. That problem might steal everything you got. He'll rob you, take everything you got. And then he don't want anything to do with you. Lose your credit. Lose your money. Lose your job. You know what he'll do? Kick you over the ditch and leave you. Amen. But he'll come home and get you. That real son of God. That preacher. That was not the love of God. That fellow would come by and say, what's the matter? Can I give you a dollar? Can I give you an empty hand? Can I help you a little bit? See, the blood caused the trouble. There's a bloodline. Every man is made of that blood. Doesn't that bloodline extend to Calvary? What was it? What is that bloodline? It's that red dragon. It's that red dragon. Somebody said, where do you get that? I said, that bloodline is that red dragon. That's that natural life. What is that natural life? It's that lust, that five senses, that human passion that's trying to devour that man on the inside. On the inside, that man child, Paul said, to Christ be formed within you. It's trying to devour that natural life, that natural bloodline. It's trying to lust like it did Eve through the human senses to overthrow the life of Jesus in you, to destroy it, to turn it to worldliness. Through human passions, Satan working on the outside, working through your own understanding. Where the Bible said, lean not to your understanding. God's been exposed to the tree of knowledge, but stand in pure mind, which is the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Stand up. Is that right? A lot of people don't ever get over Jordan. The Bible said, to be carnal mind is dead. But God said, Joshua took him over Jordan. Amen. If you get the mind of Christ, get over that carnal mind. You can get over the mind of God. Get over the Canaan land where the great celestial are. You can get on the other side of Jordan. Quit leaving your own understanding. That's what caused the trouble. It was that mind, that spirit, that power of death. Bring us under condemnation of the law. Did you know that when you do wrong, you're under the law? Did you know the Bible said the one that's fallen from grace is under the law? And did you know the penalty of the law is death? And did you know that no flesh can be justified by the law? I found out last night that Jesus himself couldn't be justified by the law. Though he kept every jot tittle of it, still killing it, tell me. Is that right?
Amen.
I could say something here that might go to your head.
Amen.
The Bible said that there was 10 kings that rose up in that day. Is that right? It said there was 10 kings in the main war against the Lamb. Is that right? But the Bible said the Lamb overcame him. The Bible said he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. How do you know that the Ten Commandments rose up against the Lamb? They took the Queen of Calvary. How do you know the Lord of the Covenant? Hallelujah. Called the Lord, Lord, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, the Bible said them kings gave their kingdom to that beast. I know it did. But the Bible said that them ten kings hated that beast. And the Bible said someday they'll burn his flesh with fire. How do you know that Jesus was typical of that beast? He was made in the image of that first man Adam. That sinful iniquity. Born in the law and hung in the law. Is that right? He rose up against death because he rose up against sin. Those Ten Commandments hated the beast. And Jesus was made sin. And been stained and smitten by the Ten Commandments by God. God smote him with the Ten Commandments. And at the end of the beast, they gave the power to him from the time he walked the earth to heal the sick. Is that right? It's fulfilled. But one day they burnt the flesh with fire. Is that right? Blood's typical fire. He said, where's the fire? The Bible said God's consuming fire with steam and spitting of God. Why did God do it? Why? Hallelujah. That precious, sinless Lamb of God. He took that body of sin. Paul said, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of the sin? Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to bring a performance to obey the law. He said, I can't find it. And he said, when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Right.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Mm-hmm. He said, God sent his own son. God made his own son in the likeness of a sinful body. One man brought sin, one man took sin away.
Uh-huh.
One man's sinful body brought it, another man's righteous body took it away.
Right.
Took it and nailed him to Calvary. That wrath that fell on Jesus Christ was burning me. That wrath that fell on Jesus Christ was burning you. After that shameful and iniquity image of yours, when Jesus hung that Calvary, God was hitting that image of yours. That was God hitting your image. That was God pouring out his wrath on you. Amen. That's right. God, the eternal spirit, blamed himself in it. Envy made you subject to vanity because of his plans. Come down in this world and made himself a body tabernacle in it. Took your sins and your iniquities and bore them at Calvary. He couldn't take away the law. You transgressed it. He couldn't take away the charge. He'd been an unjust judge. The penalty had to be paid. So he wouldn't pay it for you and serve your sins. What a wonderful God. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. Amen. He knows what he's doing. There he is, he hung at Calvary. God poured out his wrath once and for all on the image of the beast. He satisfied himself over it. And you know what? That red dragon, that bloodline, that lustful passion of bloodline, that abased out of life, that has consumed life down through the years, through its beastly passions of lust, once and for all, Jesus Christ made himself a body, got in it, and held up his hand like that against that bloodstream and said, you won't pass, Calvary. And then Revelation, when John saw the vision, recorded it, and said, I saw that red dragon put out of heaven. I saw a third part of the stars fall with him. In other words, I saw a third part of the people that love the passions of sex and the lust of this world so much that they wouldn't go with Jesus. They went with a red dragon. Amen. Now what? That blood life, that was the trouble. That was that red dragon. How do you know that John wrote the book of Revelation just a few years after Calvary? 96 A.D., exiled over their Patmos. He wrote the book of Revelation. What was the revelation? It was what took place at Calvary. Wasn't but a few years after 33 A.D., John got exiled and saw what took place at Calvary in the Spirit. So he wrote a book about it. Jesus said, I've helped Satan's lightning fall from heaven. John put it down and said, he said he saw it fall, I believe. Mm-hmm. Wrote it down.
Uh-huh.
Said, send it to the church and tell them what happened, John.
Uh-huh.
Jesus then overpowered in Calvary. Mm-hmm. What was it? It was that inner Christ that took that outer body to Calvary. And that inner Christ overcome that outer body and nailed that outer body to Calvary.
Uh-huh.
Though Jesus kept every jot and tittle of the law, it could not be justified by the law because it was a book of the scriptures in that the Bible tells us that no flesh can be justified by the law. The Bible said, great is the mystery of God. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, not by the law.
Right.
It had to be that way to be our example. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
I wish it wasn't holy. But you know what? That great bloodstream, that great red dragon, that bloodstream, that spirit, that lie, that Satan, the evil spirit, has gotten into, reached all the way down as a crooked generation, as a generation of vipers, as a snake, as a serpent. Is that right? Watch him, old serpents. Everywhere they go, they leave a crooked trail. They don't want to do that. Watch him, their tongue's always gone.
Uh-huh.
You ever watch an old snake? Always gossiping, always talking, always doing something. You can't ever stop it, can you? Their mouths is open sepulchers. It'll pull you right into it. How do you know that we're the gates to heaven? Is that right? As long as we got bowels of compassion, the days of the Gentiles are on. But brother, if we just get enough for ourselves and the darkness starts coming in, these gates of compassion close, then that's the days of the Gentiles at an end. Is that right? When we quit praying people through, that's it. But the Bible said for us to pray to make intercession for them. We pray that God would grant repentance in the life unto them. It's our job. But in Christ instead, is that right? How do you know that the gates of hell are them people I chose that won't serve God? They're the gates to hell. But the Bible said the gates to hell can't prevail against this church. That's right. Out of the bottom of the abyss, out of the pit, right through the doors of their tongue comes devils and demons, evil spirits. Is that right? But out of our hearts, through our gates, come the wonderful angels of heaven, the expressions of love, peace, and joy of the kingdom of God. Is that right? That bloodstream. I will say something just for a few minutes now. Hold on. There comes the bloodstream. What is it? It's a dragon. You've got his blood. You're born in the spirit. The Bible said he is the mother of all of us. Somebody said the black man came from one place, the red man from another, the yellow from another, the white from another. But the Bible said they all had the same blood. It said he's the mother of us all, so the Bible said.
That's right.
Now, that same bloodstream, that same evil spirit that got into the clean, pure blood of Adam, defiled it. It started a headship. That's why the Bible said the tail of the thing, called a third part. Because we're on the tail end of things. We've got down the tail of it. Got down the tail of it. Jesus put a stop to it. Why? Listen here. The prophecy was God himself prophesied. God said, and thy seed, the seed of the woman. Somebody said, Brother Pike, a woman don't have a seed. But the scripture said, a woman shall compass the man. That's what happened to Mary. She compassed the man. She wound up with a seed, but a woman don't have a seed. The Bible says she never knew a man. God didn't make no mistake. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. The Bible said the seed of the woman. Not the seed of the man. Somebody likes to blame that woman, but she don't put it in the seed of me. Somebody said it's that seed of the woman called the trouble. No. Somebody's got the car to hear the horse. These people like to go around calling the woman a garbage can. They better back up and find out which direction they're traveling. Brother Brandon used to say six of one, half a dozen the other. We have to find which end is which, don't we? The Bible said the seed of the woman. Somebody's right thing about the seed of the man. He never did do as good as the seed of the woman. Everything's right. By the time the seed of the man comes, he's been no sinner. But when the seed of the woman comes, she got things straightened out, didn't she? Now, men don't like that part. I'll get back on the bed in a minute. Got demons hit there. All right? Now, here's the seed of the woman. The Bible said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That's why the crown of thorns was placed on Jesus. Jesus was that first man Adam in his body. And the prophecy was that the seed of the woman, which was that inner Christ, was to take that body of sin to Calvary and bruise the head of it. The body was made sin. Jesus knew no sin, but being a type of sin, he had to go through it. Did you know that Jesus' soul went to hell? Somebody said, oh, you're getting worse all the time.
Amen. Go ahead.
I said, did you know that if Jesus' soul went to hell, my soul would have to go to hell?
Somebody said, well, I've been willing to take the nails. My brother taking the nails was the least thing he done. The Bible said God suffered not the soul of his Holy One to remain in hell. His soul had to go in hell and feel the pains of the judgment of God. The pain that had to be prayed so that you and I wouldn't go down the flames of fire. Hallelujah. I believe it took him. I believe everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Went down into the flames of hell, conquered hell, came back with a peace. Had the keys. You love the Lord? My wife didn't want me to bring him tonight. And the Bible says that the seed of the Lord shall bruise the head of the serpent. Jesus, Paul said, God sending his own son in the likeness of that first man Adam that caused the trouble. The likeness of sin. Is that right?
Amen.
And he took that body. He took it to Calvary. Is that right? God having to have a lamb. Begin to try to finish the thought. You know, I try to stay out of Revelation sometimes because, you know, in the congregation life, it's kind of hard. Because it takes a few minutes to do this. You can't just preach a popcorn sermon. You get people out in the middle of the ocean, you leave them. A boat without a paddle, somebody said, I was preaching one time and stopped. And somebody screamed out in the audience and said, hey, fellow, you got me out in the middle of the water again. So what you going to do with me again? Right now. See the sea of the woman. The seed of that woman had to bruise the head of the serpent. And Adam was the head of the serpent. Now listen. How did Adam get to be the head of the serpent? Because Eve went to the tree of knowledge. And knowledge is in the head. Knowledge puffed it up. Is that right? That's where the head started. That's where the knowledge started. And Eve got it over to Adam. Is that right? So then God, according to the Old Testament law, can't charge anything against the woman. How do you know that in the Old Testament if a woman done wrong? That you couldn't charge against the woman unless the man said, let it be. If the man said, I know it, they couldn't do nothing about it. It's the head. That's why Jesus said, I know it. Is that right? Jesus didn't tell me. Jesus said, I know it. Somebody said, that woman's going to pay for it. Jesus said, lay the stripes on me. I know it. You can't touch her, she's my wife. Is that right? That was the law. God didn't make no mistakes. He set that thing up for his own benefit.
Amen. That's right.
Now, so then God said that the seed of the woman gonna bruise the head of the serpent. It'll bruise the seed of the serpent. Is that right? Now see, somebody's had this thing backwards. Somebody said, that old woman, she's the cause of all this. And here she is down here, she's the garbage can. That's what she is. She's got us in trouble down here, and she's the one to blame for all this. But it looks like the woman that caused the trouble was the man that brought the first seed in the world. I said, it was his head that got bruised at Calvary, wasn't it? Is that right? The seed of the serpent. We men love to believe we're something, you know. Love to pass on the woman, but we got to find out where we're going. Now then. The seed of the woman, God said. God, what are you doing favoring the seed of the woman? She's the one that caused the trouble. But he said the seed of the church, the man child, that one that's going to rule the wrong mind, that is going to rule the head of the serpent. Now look, in that garden, there was a man and there was a woman. But there was also a beast. The nearest thing to Adam, the Son of God, was what? Come on now. I'll show you something. They know what it is. Show it to them. They see. The whole world killed the woman in the garden. Killed the man in the garden. But he was also a beast in the garden. And the Bible said he was the nearest thing to a man. That's what it teaches. Is that right? Well, nearest thing to the Son of God. Is that right? So then God put Adam in the garden. God put Eve in the garden. Is that right? But God put a beast. Are you listening? And the beast was the nearest thing to Adam. And Adam was the son of God. And the beast was in the garden. Now it says, where is the garden? The garden is the world. Where is that son of God? It's you. Where is that beast? It's a man. The nearest thing to a son of God is a man. Is that right? A cunning, crafty, slick business fellow. Wrong with his feet. The image of a devil. He's the nearest thing to a son of God. Is that right? Who does the world belong to? It belongs to the sons of God. God said, all things are yours. God so loved the world. Is that right? And he gave his son for it. The Bible said, somebody said, the Bible said, love not the world, either the things that are in the world. All that said, the world is the lust of the flesh and pride of life. The lust that passes away and the world passes away. He that doeth the will of God abides forever. But I'm saying, love not the world, either the things that are in the world. As long as the world's in its fallen condition, as long as the world's in sin. But when God created and had the Shekinah glory of God over in the garden, it was so wonderful, it was so pure, that God so loved it. That he slew a lamb from the foundation of the world to redeem it, bring it back to a lamb, back to the state of the dark. Is that right? What a wonderful place to be. Birds singing, streams flowing, flowers blooming. Hallelujah! God so loved it. Amen. Don't mess with it now. The nearest thing to this garden, my brother, I know there's a lot of prayers since God made the garden meeting. A lot of briars did it, but he'll get them all out. He'll get them all out. Just wait. A lot of briars in it. Well, listen now. The nearest thing to a son of God is that beast. He's taken the world away from us. Is that right? He's robbed us of our inheritance. He's took the thing that belonged to us. He's took it away from us. Is that right? Satan took it. But that's why Jesus came. The near kinsman. To redeem it, Calvary. That's what John saw in Revelation. And John recorded the revelation of what happened at Calvary. He saw that lamb come up to the throne. That lamb reached up and took the book. The Ancient of Days didn't say no. That lamb reached up and said, the book belongs to me. God said, that book is sealed with seven seals. Jesus said, I know how to take it loose. God looked around and said, nobody can do that. Jesus said, I can. John, he cried, he wept, and he bawled. When the Bible said, no man in heaven, no man in earth, nobody. No prayer could look at that book. You know what it was? It was the deeds to this world. Satan stole it, took it away, been sealed up. Nobody could redeem it. That's the way they've done the Old Testament. You know, they sealed it, rolled it like a scroll, put a seal on it. And this was rolled up one time, sealed, and then rolled up, sealed, and then rolled up, sealed. He walked up to it. John cried because nobody could lose that book. Finally, a voice said, John said, don't weep. Said, you see that lamb standing right there? Said, he's fresh out, Calvary. Hallelujah! Said, he got the answer, John. He walked up and took the book. And the Bible said, he opened and set the seals. He opened the mysteries of God. Is that right? That near kinsman, that redeemer, hanging that Calvary. What did he do? He come as a near kinsman. He come like a man, just like I'm a man. So that he could take it away from Satan, so Satan couldn't accuse God. If God had come down here, he'd said, God, you're an unjust person. I took this fair and square from man, and here he come. Lord knowing to take it away from him. God said, I don't have to do that. I got a son of God called Jesus. He's the match for you, son. I don't have to do that. I'll just send my son down there. When he gets through, everything will be all right.
Jesus walked up and said, give it to me, Father, it belongs to me. Hallelujah! Redeemed it back. What can be said about that tonight?
Go ahead.
I want to hurry on here, try to complete a few thoughts.
Take your time.
Can't preach it all one night.
Go ahead.
Hand has never hit the toe. Just drop another thought to me here, and then we'll try to close out. All right, now listen. Here comes the red dragon. Jesus put it into it. Now, how did he put it into it? All men are made of one blood. But here was Jesus Christ, the second man Adam. Is that right? Christ came up. Now, someone said that Jesus was the Adam. But the Bible said the second man Adam was a quickening spirit. That was that Christ that came out of the grave. Is that right? That was that Christ that came out of the grave. Amen. Is that right? So then, here it comes up. Now, he was the first man Adam going to count, delivered from offenses. But when he came up, he's that second man Adam. Is that right? The quickening spirit. He said, where did he get that? The Bible said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. I wish we'd be doing that. Right. Let me ask you this. The Bible said the temple was rent in twain. Is that right? That means it was split in two. Jesus separated from the Christ. Is that right? That bridge came between the Christ and the Jesus. The Lord and the God. Peter said he made himself twain, both. Said the temple was rent in twain, separation. God separated the good from the bad. Said he put the sheep on one side, nailed. He take them in the kingdom, put the goats on the other side, and nail them to the cross. Is that right? There were two things hanging there on the cross. One said, yeah, if you can do it, do it. The other said, I believe you can. He said, you got faith, you'll be with me. Is that right? He said, yeah, that other fellow. He had an argument the other day, you know, in the hours. Hit Brother J.T. Parnell. I heard it on the tape. And he hit about baptism. He's preaching baptism in Jesus' name because most all of you believe that.
Amen.
But he hit J.T. about baptism in Jesus' name. And finally, J.T. began to explain it, you know. Somebody said, well, why don't you tell me something? He said, what happened to that man there at Calvary? He said, what happened to that thief? He said, he wasn't baptized. He said, he wasn't baptized. He said, what happened to him? He got salvation. Well, I'll tell you what, that puts a fellow on the spot unless he's been with Jesus. So I said, what do you think about the Bible? The man wasn't saved. So I said, what about that fellow there? He wasn't baptized. I said, he wasn't saved. Somebody said, but the Bible said, this day shall not be with me in paradise. Daniel was in paradise too. Abraham was in paradise too. The others was in paradise too. God said, Daniel, you're wasting your lot, but you can't be made perfect because you don't know that. Said, things without us could not be made perfect. Is that right? They didn't receive the promise. Is that right? Said, but they embraced it. They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers and looked forward to it. Is that right? God said, Abraham, through thy seed, the promise. But the Bible said the promise came when he stood up at Pentecost and said, this is that. This is the promise. Hallelujah! Said they couldn't be made perfect without us. Is that right? What happened to all the people that Noah preached to? They went to paradise too, the ones who lived right. Is that right? The Bible said when Christ went down into the heart of the earth, that's when that fellow had a chance to get right. That's when Daniel had a chance to get right. Now, you say, what do you mean? I mean, they all died in the faith, not having us receive the promise. Somebody said, well, if they died in the faith, if they believed, that meant it was good enough. If believing is good enough, the Bible said the devil believes.
No,
it ought to be good enough. You know? Somebody said, all you got to do is pocket believe to get to heaven. If that's so, if all you got to do is believe, then the devil's in good shape. He's on his way to heaven. Is that right? I want to say something's really going to upset the apple cart. Did you know he made it in? I said, did you know that the devil did get to heaven? He believed himself right in. How do you know that?
Yes,
right up to God. Talk to him about jokes. You say, how do you know this in heaven? Because the Bible said God cast you out of heaven. But you know what the trouble was? He didn't have the wedding garment. Tied up another way. Didn't open the door. He didn't have a wedding garment.
God picked him out and have lit. Paul of us that had received the Holy Ghost that you believe, 19th chapter of Acts. They said, well, we've not heard whether it be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, well, who baptized you? How was you baptized? Said, what kind of doctrine have you got hold of? That's what it was. He said, under what then were you baptized? That's what Scripture says. Is that right? They said, we were baptized under John. That's good. John baptized Jesus. That's good. Baptized for the same man in the same water hole, made in the same place. Is that right? But Paul said, that's not good enough. See, that was all right. Because the law and the prophets were until John, that was all right. He said, but the kingdom's here now. Said, John baptized under repentance, said, believe on the name when the name comes. For salvation to the name. You know what John said? Said, there's one standing among the name of Jesus. And he comes. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. That righteous man's in his hand a fairly purchased flow. Is that the Bible? Then the Bible said they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is that right? And then the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, that was for the Jews. But the Bible said Peter went down to Cornelius and down to the Gentiles. Got down to the Gentiles over there. Peter said, see how God made a difference. Jews need to open the doors to the Gentiles. And the Bible said, well, they preach the Holy Ghost so long. But after they received the Holy Ghost, Peter commanded them to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for his sin. What could he say right there?
Go ahead.
So then, the man before Calvary, he wasn't saved because he never received the Holy Ghost. But when the promise came in Pentecost, where it said, if I go away, I'll send him back.
Uh-huh.
You can't be made perfect until the mother folks get you down. Just lay there and get locked to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right.
But when that promise came, what did he do? The Bible said he went down into the heart of the earth and he done some preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bible scholars.
Amen.
I said he preached to the stones in prison.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Pius, do you mean they preached down in the heart of the earth? He did. That's right, he had camp meeting down there. He went down and preached. People really got filled with the Holy Ghost. You believe it?
That's right.
Yeah. Old Daniel probably jumped up and the Holy Ghost went into him and began to shout and say, praise to God. Amen.
Amen.
And the children of the grave could hold it off. The Bible said the grave broke
open.
And they got up and they walked away.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And the people saw.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
The Bible said the same delivery rules upon the ground. When Daniel got the Holy Ghost, no doubt he just come right by the ground. Somebody promised it. You know, I've heard of Daniel. I've read about and heard of that fellow going in. It looks to me like that's Daniel. Somebody might have said, you're crazy. You're losing your mind. Somebody said, probably somebody said, well, you know what? I'm probably losing mine too, because that looks like Elisha. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody said, I know he'll live again at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah! I said, when you got the Holy Ghost, you don't need to die. Praise wasn't made for people filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peter's got the Holy Ghost, gets up out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I said, when that trumpet sounds, they're going to get up out of the ground. There ain't no grave to hold up. Brother, when you got the Holy Ghost, there ain't no need to die.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, I show you, mister, we're not all asleep and be changed. One day we're going to wake up to the fact that the devil's just kicking us around.
Uh-huh.
But God don't intend us to die.
Uh-huh.
The mystery. Paul said, you're wearing that tomorrow. What else?
Oh,
they're changed.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying they're changed at tomorrow. I'm feeling better, John. You know the Lord?
Yeah.
You know what? I can sell out tonight, but I promise you, I'm no close. I'm just about middle ways now, sir. And I'm not close out here. Hello, my dear. I got you on Joe Dealer. Told you didn't have to die. I got you on Joe, but I let you look around too. Jim Sam. You love the Lord?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, I really could go in here because of a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things I'd like to say to you. But I know that you've been here a long time, and I know you're tired.
Go ahead,
Brother Pastor. Praise God. I love you, you're good to. Praise the Lord. Brother Pastor, I finished preaching last night, so folks come to church. Hallelujah. I was preaching out in Colorado one time out in Denver. I was preaching there to the same time people were preaching here back then. I was preaching them out there and they didn't get church till 9 o'clock. You know, I was used to going to church about 8 o'clock and I got over about 8 o'clock and I stepped and I waited. Probably, you know, I'd be late already. I didn't get there till 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Black folks are wonderful folks. Some of the greatest in the world. Got some of the most precious friends among our black brothers and sisters. Let me say just a few words and close, Ben.
Go ahead.
There's so many things I'd like to say on the cross. Really and truly from my heart.
Go ahead.
But I know I need to close. There's some other rich children from the rest. Let me just say a few words here. The man tell me he wasn't saved. Jesus didn't say he was saved, did he? He just said, this thing out so people will be in paradise. Is that right? But salvation comes from the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has not yet been given. Is that right? Can I explain something to you just to give it to your ancestors? Here's where we get mixed up. First of all, a lot of people don't believe there ever was a Holy Ghost until after Calvary. That's wrong. Is that right? See, that's wrong. That was the Holy Ghost before Calvary. How do you know that the Holy Ghost has always been here? Did you know that when Peter stood up and preached, he said that even in the days of David, when David spoke like he did, and said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit here on my right hand, for I'll make thine enemies thy footstool. Is that what he said? Did you know what I was speaking about Judas, when the Bible said, let another his bishopric take, and Peter said, the Holy Ghost thus signified. I said, the Holy Ghost was speaking to me.
Uh-huh.
Somebody said, well, nobody ever got the Holy Ghost from the pot. Nobody ever got the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost before Calvary. I didn't prove to you that he was filled with the Holy Ghost before Calvary. Can you see it? I proved to you that he was filled with the Holy Ghost before Calvary. Somebody said, we're never filled with the Holy Ghost until Pentecost. I proved to you he was filled with it before Pentecost. Is that right? The Bible speaks of John the Baptist's day. Is that right? What does it say about it? What did he say about it? Is that right?
That's right.
Is that right? The Bible said he was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak and prophesy.
That's right.
Saying we should serve God with holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Is that right? The Bible said John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Is that right?
That's right.
Now you say, what's the difference, Brother Pop? What did Pentecost bring? Pentecost did not bring the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The prophets were filled with the Holy Ghost at the time they prophesied. But my brother, it brought to us the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. That's what it was. It had not yet been made a gift. They could be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they couldn't keep the Holy Ghost. But today I keep the Holy Ghost. I got the gift today. It has not yet been given.
Uh-huh.
It's the gift of eternal life and the gift of God's
uh-huh.
eternal life.
Amen.
You got it?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I understand this.
Go ahead.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
That's right.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. You've got the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Adam did not have eternal life because Adam did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He was born made of the dust, burning in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when the second man Adam came, he was not dwelling in the presence of it.
Uh-huh.
But he was born of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He was born of the Shekinah glory of God.
Uh-huh.
My brother, when you're in the presence of the Shekinah, the devil might come along and lead you off. When God creates a holy atmosphere here, and the Spirit of God comes down, you're in the presence of God.
Uh-huh.
But as quick as the devil comes along and leads you out of the presence of it.
Mm-hmm.
Esau and Jacob both was in the presence of it. Esau prayed, cried, done everything with the officer's birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? But Jacob has the birthright. Is that right? Because his daddy made him a gift out of it. He's done giving it to him. Is that right? Esau said, give it to me. I'm sorry to it. Is that right? Said, you want to be a slick businessman, you got the husk. This wife filled her belly with the husk. You want the Cadillacs. You want the nice homes. You want the bank accounts. You want the fabulous. You want the high school education. You want the college. Amen. Then he said, this used to be a hog pit out here. I believe the prodigal son's getting up going back to the father's house. I believe God put a ring on his finger, don't you? Hallelujah. You know the classical side of life, you got it. Esau said, but I changed my mind, so but you changed it too late. You know why he changed it? He liked to go hunting, he liked to go fishing, he liked to frolic. Old Jacob just stayed around home and kind of looked after things. Is that right? Old David sitting out on the hillside, he didn't bother about his son out there watching after sheep, you know, the boys all frolicked. But when God needed a king, he didn't look out there and get the frolics, did he? He got the fellow that about his father's business. Is that right? See, the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you got the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are resurrected from the dead. You have passed from death unto life. You have been born in the Shekinah glory of God and you cannot die. Somebody said, Brother Park, I know a lot of people who's filled with the Holy Ghost died. You've never met a man in your life or a woman who's ever filled with the Holy Ghost that ever died. Nobody ever died that had the Holy Ghost. That means it's a misinterpretation on your part of death. The Bible said lies are sleeping. My brother, if I had time to go into tonight, I could show you that I'd be fully asleep. There's a world of ignorance. But God's never talked to you about the world. Hallelujah! Men who receive the Holy Ghost don't die. Amen. Now the man did not receive salvation until Christ went down the heart of the earth. And it was at that time that he received salvation. We are born of the Shekinah glory. We can never sin again. Somebody would say, Brother Park, I know a lot of Christian people that sin. You've never met a Christian in your life that ever sinned one time, before or after. A Christian person has never sinned. He never sinned in the past, and he'll never sin in the future. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you ever sin, you have to die. I'll tell you what, I ain't going to get around to tonight, I know, but I can prove to you tonight that death is conquered. You got eternal life. Since the last year of time, I'm proof to you. I'm not kidding, I'm proof to you. When the world gets a hope that it's going to make a change, tell us, oh, you're just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Somebody said, you're saying good things, you know, just get people's attention. My brother, I discovered the truth. I discovered it in the Revelation, and I know that it's absolutely true. That death has been conquered, and we are free, and we don't have to die.
Amen.
And I can explain it to you perfectly. Listen, we are born with the Shekinah glory. How do you understand it? God didn't make the same mistake as the world would call it twice. Nobody will ever leave the Son of God out. That man that's called a beast out there, that Esau, the Bible said, we're moving through the land of Esau, pay you away. This is his world. But I was above the Canaan land, just over Jordan. You know that tribulation period, is that right? Don't mess with us down here. The God's under a curse right now. Leave alone. Love not the world right now. Wait till the rain comes. Now then, we're born of the Shekinah glory of God. The second man out is born by it. He's not in the presence of it. He's got eternal life. He can't see him. He can't see him. He can't see him. No Christian can ever see him. No Christian can ever see. Because the wages of sin is death. If a person ever sins, they've got to pay the penalty of death. That's why Jesus died at Calvary. Because of the sin in the world. There had to be a penalty paid for death. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, it's appointed unto every man to die. Why to put a lying priesthood up upon priesthood? The Bible says God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and the loose still was upon him and the dead. Heard him in a day expected and secured in the tower. They were appointed. Somebody says, you got to meet that appointment. I did. You meant the wrong time. Hallelujah. He nailed the Calvin that took care of it. I didn't miss it at all. I meant it wrong time. I said, he looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them. I was one of being loosed. Seeing that this woman was a daughter of Abraham, that ought not she to be loosed and looser. Is that right? Hallelujah. You love the Lord.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now listen, I will be able to say just a few more words. Would you listen? If you will. He that is born of God. Now, I don't know who's been born of God. The Bible says the first man Adam was made a living soul. Is that right? But the Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The Bible said that was his born to flesh. Flesh. That was his born of spirit is flesh. Have you ever been born of flesh? Let me see anything. It'd be hard to deny it, wouldn't it? Anybody's got eyes, it'd be hard to deny it. But now, how many have been born of the spirit? Let me see anything. When you were born of flesh, what was it? You were born of that bone and flesh of that flesh, shape and iniquity, that image, is that right?
That's right.
But now, if you've been born of the Spirit, what are you? The Bible says that the born of the Spirit is the second man, the quickening spirit. Born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? The old bloodline's gone, they had sin and death. Royal blood's flowing through your veins, is that right? How do you know that every person that was ever born in the world was born of that bloodstream that came down from the garden? Every son came from that blood. The devil was in that baby when he came in the world. The blood still had strength in him. But he wasn't accountable for the sin until he came to a knowledge. Because there's no knowledge of sin. Sin's not required. The knowledge of the penalty. Is that right? So he's still in heaven. How many more babies are still in heaven? Jesus said, speaking of those little children, said, don't you forbid them. They're angels. They said, Lord, said it's Peter's angel. Spirit. Said that baby spirit inside that body always beholds the face of my Father in heaven. So that baby spirit's innocent. Somebody said babies go to hell. I don't know where they get that. The Bible said that baby's angel, that spirit, that's never become the age of accountability, that is beholding the face of my Father all the time. God don't never take his eye off of it. Is that right? But the day you become accountable, Jesus said about 12, my Father's business. Is that right? Then you give him this. You get out of that garden and get in the world. Is that right? So then, there had to be another bloodstream. There had to be another bloodline. Adam's blood was defiled. And the life in the blood. God had to make another bloodstream. That was royal blood. That was the blood cell that was in Mary's womb. Is that right? Created the second bloodstream. Is that right? Why? Jesus couldn't be born of that blood. If Jesus had been born of that blood, he'd been just as much a sinner as him. But that lamb of the evening time, his blood had to be pure. Is that right? It had to be pure blood. I wish we had time to go over and explain it. But it had to be pure blood. Is that right? That blood. The pure blood. That's why Judas. Judas said, I'm betraying innocent blood. You know who that was? That was a death. The devil said, oh my. Oh my. I'm into it now. I've killed people all down through the years. But I got away with it. Because them people are guilty of sin. But he said, I messed with a man there who's got innocent blood. I do myself, Satan said. I made the great transgression, he said. He was done for. He said, I prayed that this man, I crossed this man. I submitted on my punches, beard, and done everything. And I have no place in him. I never could get in the first time. And he looked at me and he kept saying, I'm defeated, I'm defeated, I'm defeated. He defeated me. He lived perfect, he defeated me. Satan defeated himself by killing Jesus. Hallelujah. Innocent blood. Innocent blood. You got royal blood tonight, my brother. That old Adam man is dead. He's gone. He's dead. The veil's been rent in twain. And that brother Ed that used to be a sinner has been killed by Calvary. Been buried. And the man is the Son of God, said man. The veil has been rent in twain. The masterpiece has been unveiled. You follow me? The body of Jesus. I'm going to stop it. We're just getting started. And that's the truth. I'm never going to stop. Stand with me while I say these last few words. See the red dragon in it, my brother, right there, Calvin. A new bloodline started, and the life is in the blood. Tonight, if you got royal blood, you got it. If temporal life was in Adam's blood, what kind of life is in Jesus' blood? Say it again, Ed. Eternal life. Temporal life is in that blood that Adam had. But in this blood, it is eternal. How do you know that hell is not eternal? How do you know that?
Amen.
Hell's not eternal. A lot of people jump the gun on that, you know. They say, well, I've learned that hell's not eternal. Hell's not eternal because the Bible said death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them, and hell and death was cast into the lake of fire.
That's
right. A lot of people preach that and try to do it with fire. Mm-hmm. But Jude comes right back and he said, eternal flames. Somebody said forever means space of time. Well, Joe said, I'm in the belly of the whale forever. The original rhythm says space of time. So they tried to do away with the fire. But Jude comes right back and he'll use the word forever. He said eternal flame. If you're wondering about it, you know where it stands. Is that right?
Amen.
I said the other night from evening till morning, called dark, God reckons time from darkness till daylight. So evening, from Eve's fall over till the day starts up to the young. I believe the daylight's already come, don't you?
Amen.
I believe the daylight's already come.
Amen.
That's right. I believe the daylight's already come. The day star of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, if you overcome, I will give unto you the bright and the morning star. I just thank God, what will I do with the bright and the morning star? It's too big for me to have. But I thought about when the wise man said that was his star. And I thought, Lord, that's it. That day star is you on the inside of me. Hallelujah, I'll give you the day star. Not the day star, because in that city there is no night. In that city there is no night.
Amen.
You love the Lord.
Amen.
So much I'd like to say, my brother. All I'll tell you what, abundance, abundance, abundance of the great revelation of Jesus that makes us know who we are, where we are, and what we're doing. I'll just sing a little caution. Get license to fly a plane, you know, for Easter or somebody. He He said, "But they won't mind you, Brother Pike." And I said, "Why?" He said, "God is colorblind." I said, "That shows you type of God. God's colorblind. He don't see nothing but sons and daughters of God. Now, he don't see any color when it comes to racial differences. God's not colorblind. You know what I mean. God knows what color is. But when it comes to being prejudiced, God's colorblind. He don't see any difference. Is that right? The blood flows here.
Amen.
So I guess you call me colorblind tonight. The red man, the yellow man, the white man, the black man, the blue man, the brown man.
Spending more time with him instead of pushing him out of the educational facilities.
put him out there and made him a shoe shine boy. Give him a little more money. I said it wouldn't be like that. I said, pushing away is what's causing trouble. That's why we're fighting with each other. We learn God, we learn to love one another, we'll get along. Divided nation can't stand. Stop loving one another. That's what we need to do. Is love one another. I need to love you, you need to love me.
Amen.
You need to understand me, I need to understand you.
Amen.
Somebody said, but you got false hope. Do you know anybody that don't have any? I want to meet him. I never knew but one Thomas that I find no fault in him. That's the only one I ever heard of. What we need to do is get together. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that the right man can understand the revelation of Jesus Christ and know why God put him in the world and know that he is difficult to achieve it. We just had weeks to go and do it. To show what he is, what he was put you for, the beauty of what God has done to him and for him. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't think there's nothing beautiful about it when men are have to suffer, when men are tarred and feathered, when men are killed. I don't either. But there's been white men that's been done the same way. There's been women in the dark ages that have their breasts ripped off.
Amen.
Fed to the lions for Christ. It wasn't a beautiful thing that Jesus went to Calvary, but he did it for you. Because he went to Calvary, God stayed on high. Because you're willing to suffer, God will set you on high. Don't complain. See, one is suffering in one way, one is suffering in another way. The Jews was God rejected people for a period. Is that right? God rejected them. Let them be outcasts. Let them just wander around. Is that right? God with explanations had a good time. So that he could bring them in at the end time for what? To make them the head of the nation. To make them the head of the nation. You don't understand now, but you will. You will. I want you to sing the little chorus with me. I promise tonight that I pray for you if you sing. And I will sing the little chorus. Little gospel like this, we sing a lot back home. As I walk, blessed Lord, in the knowing thou hast come, we need strength to that. Wouldn't it be better to love the red man, the yellow man, than to have the shootout?
Amen.
hillbillies is over in Kentucky found love, and said we love each other all the time. Is that right?
Amen.
Did you know if you fight, you lose other ways? If you kill the fellow, you lose while God's displeased with you, they wind up in the electric chair. And if he kills you, you sure enough lose. Ain't no way you can win. But if you love one another, you can win.
Amen.
Jesus says love one another. Love one another. You know how you love one another? Is to do something good to them. You know, when I come up to Ed, you know, I come up to Ed like this. This is the white man, the black man. You heard it coming up. Because he thinks he is. Now he comes over, you know, here to go over the pine. I heard the black man say, because you think he is. But if the white man comes over and says, hello, he says, hello. See, that's no good. A bad spirit is bad if it's in a red man or a yellow man, don't you agree? A good spirit's good no matter what man it's in. You don't like a bad spirit, then you want to do that. What would be better if we swear to all the hurt? The Bible said greet each other with a kiss of charity. What is a kiss of charity? When my spirit kisses Ed's spirit, Ed's spirit kisses my spirit. Be filled with charity. See, I come up and my love goes out to Ed and his love comes out to me. Is that right? Is that right?
Amen.
Not to know a man after the flesh. That's dead, dead, and gone, but hell. But if it's a cut, it's gone. But to know him as the Son of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Come up and love one another. Don't wait till Ed tries to be friendly to me to be friendly to him. I come up wanting to be friendly. He comes up wanting to be friendly. Solomon said, if you have friends, one must show himself friendly.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
That's loving him being. That's loving him being. You love him?
Amen.
Let's say it one more time. Soon this way.